हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 11. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses, and instead they remained home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "In this context, we will make our analysis according to the method described in Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani. There are two categories of gopis, the eternally perfect, the nitya siddhas, and those who have become perfect by practicing bhakti yoga, the sadhana siddhas. The sadhana siddhas are of two categories, those who belong to special groups and those who do not. And there are also two classes of the gopis belonging to special groups, namely the shrutacharis, who come from the group of the personified Vedas, and the rishicharis, who come from the group of sages who saw Lord Ramachandra at Dandakaranya, at the Dandakaranya forest. The same fourfold categorization of the gopis is given in the Padma Purana. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "When Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world, in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, but also those who are being promoted to that status from the material world. So some of the gopis who join Krishna pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings." Right? So the Lord always comes with his associates. Right? That's how things work. Because otherwise, how do the pastimes go on? Because the pastimes are based on that pure affection. Right? So the eternal associates have that pure affection. While then the those who are not in that status, they don't. Right? So then, for those who are coming up or being, as Prabhupada says, being elevated or promoted from the material platform, then they need the association of those who are eternal associates to develop that actual mood of pure devotion. Right? So in yes. So that opportunity is given, yes.
So can we say that those two that are sadhana siddhas,
yes,
they come from the Vaishnav Sampradaya?
They would have to be some variety of Sampradaya.
And in our line, we usually say that we aspire for the Manjaris as a service.
Means it's a common position attained in our line. But it's not that the others aren't there also. You also have the cowherd boys, you have like things like that. But it's fairly standard.
And yes. Other sampradayas, we usually say that they go to Vaikuntha in their mood.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that that there's not those who are interested in this aspect. Because you see, there's those who, they saw Lord Ramachandra and they wanted that kind of relationship. But since Lord Ramachandra has made a vow of only one wife, therefore they have to come later. They can't take part in that pastime. Because the point is you're connecting to Krishna, so wherever your natural affection is, that's what can function. But the point being is that without association, then you can't come to that perfect platform. That's the whole point. Is that by associating with the eternal associates who already have that mood, then you can develop that mood. Right? Just like you have the potential, but it can't develop. Just like milk has the potential to be yogurt, but it can't become yogurt without touching yogurt. Like that.
So can we say that for us to become perfect, we have to be born somewhere where the pastimes of Krishna are going on to get trained?
Yes, that's the standard.
That would be the logical.
That's basically what everybody does. So that's the method. Is that one's here, one practices, so it's devotional service, then one comes up to the position of appearing in his Gokul pastimes, and then there one comes to that platform of prema. Right? That sense? Then having attained that stage of prema, then when they move on, then you can go to Goloka. But you can't be in Goloka without having attained prema. And prema is attained when one's in Gokul. Is that...
Maharaj, here it seems that sadhana siddhas, there are two groups, special groups and the other group. And again, the special group has categorization. So basically, Lord Chaitanya, he has come to give, prema to this other group, which is ordinary group, right?
And no, he's just said that he's come to give prema. Why get so specific about groups?
Because your Shrutichari's and Rishichari's, they are like in specific.
Yeah, but that's specifically saying here in these groups, that it doesn't mean that there may not be groups other than them.
Okay.
It means that this time there's that, but since you're saying Lord Chaitanya, it doesn't mean that there can't be groups.
Okay.
Devotees who are together, study together, do things together, discuss together, they're a group. Okay?
This is a
weird
group.
It could be. Okay. Yes.
I was thinking that in your modern day apprenticeships, so you learn from the master.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But the difficulty with the modern is that once you learn from the master, then you yourself have to go out and then be the expert. So here we see the actual complete package where you're always learning, even when you're perfected. You're always
yes.
Learning.
Yes. No. You're because you're always following. That order will always remain. It's not that order will change because the influence of the impersonal. So depending upon how much degree that impersonal is there, you'll maintain or not maintain that relationship with who you learned from. But in the Vedic sense, then it's always maintained like that. Yeah, supposed to.
Well,
yeah,
I wanted to know.
So in the spiritual world, I don't want to sound redundant, but do the group stay together? If you're from a Shrutichari or a Rishichari, do you stay with that group and work under a certain Gopi or Manjari in the spiritual world? Or
means if you are a Rishichari or a Shrutichari.
Right, like just, those are the, maybe I don't understand it, saying that the...
No, but I mean, it means what's the angle you're looking at? It means whether we can be a Rishichari or a Shrutichari, or you're just talking about the Rishicharis and the Shruticharis themselves?
Yeah, in general, like other groups, like, so, I mean, like, that's the type of school that you get into, if you're, like, if you're in that group, or is it a mood, I'm trying to...
No, it's just that they were associating together, that's all.
So then in the spiritual world, they stay together under a certain authority?
Generally, they would be together. Prabhupada said there's an ISKCON in the spiritual sky, so everyone will be together there, so... It's like that. So in that way, we're a group. The ISKCON group.
That's a general one.
Yeah. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues. In the present verse of the Bhagavatam, we understand that it is the gopis who had children who were kept forcibly at home. This fact is clear from verses yet to come. In his comments on the 10th canto, Srila Kavi Karnapur Goswami mentions this fact. Without trying to repeat all his thoughts on this verse, we'll give the gist of his purport. Okay, so that means then... Okay, Vishwanath's giving the gist of Kavi Karnapur. Okay. Upon seeing the personal form of Sri Ramachandra, the sages who were worshippers of Lord Gopala immediately became elevated to the mature platform of spontaneous devotion. Automatically reaching the stages of firm faith, attraction, and attachment. But they had not yet completely freed themselves of all material contamination. Therefore, Sri Yogamaya arranged for them to take birth in the wombs of gopis and become cowherd girls. By associating with the eternally perfect gopis, some of these new gopis fully manifested purvarag, loving attraction for Krishna, as soon as they reached puberty. This kind of attraction develops even before one meets the beloved. That's the whole point of purvarag, is before meeting, then that attraction is there. So it's come to a full point of attraction. Like that. If it comes after, then that's another. Then that's. But here, what comes to that, then you meet Krishna. When these new gopis got the direct audience of Krishna and physically associating with them, all their remaining contamination became burned up. And they achieved the advanced stages of prema, sneha, and so on. Even though they were in the company of their cowherd husbands, by the power of Yoga Maya, the gopis remained unsullied by sexual contact with them. Another one of these. Rather, they were situated in purely spiritual bodies that Krishna enjoyed. On the night they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, their husbands tried to stop them, but by the merciful assistance of Yogamaya, the sadhana siddha gopis who were able to go forth to their beloved were able to go forth to their beloved together with the nitya siddha gopis. Right? So that's the groups that went, that we'll hear about, that met with Krishna. So now this is discussing those that could not go. Okay? So that means here, some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses, and instead they remained home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love. Okay, so other gopis, however, because of not getting the good fortune of associating with the Nitya Siddha gopis and other advanced gopis, had not achieved the stage of prema, and so their contamination was not completely burned away. Right? So this is the whole point, is that if you want to get from that platform up to the position of being qualified to associate with Krishna, that requires association with those more advanced. So that principle is the main principle in devotional service. Without that association, then we don't move forward. That's why Rupa Goswami says, like-minded personalities with that are more advanced, we associate. That's how we move forward. Right? Then our chanting, our reading, our worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, all those have meaning in that we will understand how to take advantage. By being there, of course, there's benefit, but it doesn't become dynamic like this until we get proper association. So that's why it's always there. So the focus is on association of the devotees, on those who are more advanced. So if we have a social condition in which we are not inclined towards authority or those who are senior or things like this, then our whole devotional process will actually be stunted. Because this is the key. If you can't come to this platform of prema without it, why would all the other ones work without it? You understand? So that's the whole point, is it is the important aspect. So if you've cultivated that here, that one appreciates the association of devotees and that, and one will take advantage of that, then one can move forward very nicely. Yeah?
But we can say, even if somebody doesn't at the beginning, with the time being purified, it might work.
But it'll be slow without it, because we see one has faith, okay? Mm-hmm. So how did you get that faith?
From
by associating with devotees. Yes. Then what's the next stage after faith?
Sadhu
Sangha. You understand? So it's all about association with devotees. So that means that Sadhu Sangha continues, just like the faith continues in Sadhu Sangha, then faith and Sadhu Sangha continue in Bhajana Kriya. Then faith, Sadhu Sangha, and Bhajana Kriya continue in Anartan Riti, like this. It just keeps going. So that faith in that association devotees, that just continues. So it's just when the faith becomes a little deeper, that means then your quality of association with devotees gets deeper. Therefore, your bhajana kriya gets deeper. Because that got deeper, then your being purified gets deeper. Because you see, they got that association that became purified. Well, these ones didn't. They didn't get purified. Right? Then, from that, when one becomes purified, then that all deepens, then it becomes, you become fixed in devotional service. So the point is this, as the faith deepens, that means the quality of our association deepens, we see everything else then progresses. So without that association, actually we don't progress. So it's not a very solid position if we have faith in Krishna consciousness, you know, from one way we appreciate, but we don't really necessarily like the devotees. The progress won't be actually very good. It means one's there, one's around, one's like this, but that's the symptom between, how do we define the difference between the neophyte and the madhyama? Faith is there, but in this context. Association devotees. Neophytes don't really care about it. Madhyamas do. So neophytes basically see no one as a devotee. Madhyamas then take advantage of those who have those symptoms of being advanced in devotional service. And the Uttama sees everyone as a devotee except themselves. Right? So it's kind of like the neophyte sees everyone except everyone, only themselves as devotees and everyone else is lacking, while the Uttama sees everyone else as devotees and themselves as lacking. And the Madhyama balances in between. You understand? So this key of Vaishnava association is the main thing. Yeah?
Can we see if they always follow Guru Maharaj's instruction, this is one kind of association?
Yes, it is. It is. But one also takes advantage of whatever else, other association is there. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So when you're describing how we carry the previous stages with us as
right.
we're kind of going through,
yes.
does that mean that, say, when we get to Nishta, we're still going through the process of Anartha Nivritti?
It means that the Anartha Nivritti has come to a point where there's less Anarthas. It means we see here, in Gokul, already in the spiritual world, they're still going through those stages. Mm. But it's just that it's very, very subtle at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Until you come to prema, then there is something to work on. Once you come to prema, then everything's perfect. But until prema, then, you know. So.
In this regard, we see the gopis disqualification.
I'd be a little careful there. You're talking about people in the spiritual realm, in Krishna's pastimes. And
okay, so
we're pointing it out here, the subtleties, so we appreciate the subtleties in our life.
Hmm. So how do we understand the aspect of Krishna's independence? Because we also see that Krishna can also make the choice whether he appears or not, appears irrespective of the qualification of...
But it's his choice to appear like that. Hmm. It's his independent choice that he appears and interacts with devotees according to how they interact with him. That's his choice. No one's forcing him to do that. Right? It's not like Mother Jashoda's got him in a half Nelson and says that, you know, you have to, you know, reciprocate with everybody. Is that... Okay. However, other gopis, because of not getting the good fortune of associating with the Nityasiddha gopis and other advanced gopis, right? Because in other words, their focus was not enough. Their determination was not enough that they got that association. It's not just they happened to bump into or not bump into. It's that as they have that more determination, that focus on Krishna, then they get that association. So it says here, then, right? Yes, so they had that determination. So then they got that association with the Nityasiddha gopis. Therefore, they developed Purva Rag. Therefore, they were qualified to go. Because until one's come to that point of samadhi, right, Smarana Dasa, then one can't move to the next stage. Right? You can't go to Apandas because that's where you can associate with Krishna. So in other words, the first three stages, it's through meditation that you that you associate with Krishna. Right? Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa, and Smarana Dasa. Then that is by your hearing about and associating with others. Then that develops your that full attachment, that full faith in Krishna. That brings it to Purva Rag. Right? Purva means complete, Raga means attachment. So that complete attachment to Krishna. Right? There's no, in other words, it's exclusive. So because of that, then you can see as that set of gopis, even though they were in the company of their cowherd husbands, by the power of Yoga Maya, the gopis remained unsullied by sexual contact. Right? So they're not interested in these things. And so somehow or another it works out that nothing happens. Right? Because Yoga Maya is there, so however she arranges it, it just nothing happens. So then because of that, then we see that they were able to move forward nicely. Okay? Does that make sense? Yes. So then Yoga Maya arranges all that because there's that inherent focus, that determination. That's why we have to keep that one-pointed determination. That's the meaning in the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. That's just focused just on Krishna. And so when that comes to this point of being exclusively about Krishna, nothing else, as you can see here, then they're qualified to move into the next stage, Apandasa, where they can actually get the association of Krishna. Right? So they'll go into those situations with the eternal associates. They will introduce them. Right? Then they'll become part of that scene. And it's still, there's something further to go until they get to prema, but the point is now you have that association. So, that makes sense? Yeah. So it's not like Karma Mimamsa, because they've gotten to this stage, now Krishna has to. So, no, it's Krishna's, that's how Krishna's arranged. If you come to this, then he will associate. Right? So it's his independence, yes.
Then we should say that first stage should be Sadhu Sangha. And from Sadhu Sangha we develop Shraddha.
Yes, but that's what happens.
Because we usually say that we do have some Shraddha and then we get Sadhu Sangha. Where is Shraddha coming from?
Yes, but the point is before Shraddha, what is it called? Shraddha is faith. What is... So that means you have faith in the devotional process, you're performing devotional process on that stage. What is devotional service called before that?
Agyata
Sukriti. How do you get Agyata Sukriti? From the devotees. So the point is it's only through association you get it, but you're not associating with devotees. You're in the association of devotees, but you don't see the value, you just happen to bump into them. Those are the guys in the bedsheets on the other side of the street, you know, or standing in front of that shop and doing Harinam every day when you go by going to the office, you know. And so by that association, eventually you come to, who are these guys? Then you go over and talk to them. And then talking to them, then you develop the faith. Then you decide, now I want to associate with these people. You understand? So that's what's happening. So Shraddha Sangha is called because these are the points you're conscious of. It's not that you're not getting purified of anartas before anarta nivritti, but just at the stage of anarta nivritti, you're actually conscious that there are anartas and you're willing to give them up. Right? Because it's called anarta nivritti, not anarta holding on with the skin of your teeth. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, like that. It's that it comes up that you understand this, and so then you're willing to give it up. It's where you see anartas and that, you know, or opportunities to give up these, you take it. That's the Narta Nivritti. But otherwise, one's being purified already from Agyata Sukriti. Otherwise, why is it you getting benefit? Does that make sense? And that purification goes all the way through. But when it's in that major stage where that's what you're focusing on, that's called that. Just like when you're in Sadhu Sangha, it's not that you don't have faith, but it's Shraddha means you're actually contemplating that, yes, I'm going to take this up. I'm going to... you know, put my attention into Krishna consciousness, right? So that stage, that's called Shraddha. Does that make sense? So it's whatever's prominent is what you call it. But it's all one process. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like, as a sadhana bhaktas, we should hanker and be determined for association of devotees who are advanced, rather than like, there are some devotees who also just think of Krishna only, you know, directly.
The point is either way it'll work. If you think of Krishna, then you'll want to associate with his devotees, because Krishna is always doing his pastimes with his devotees. So why you wouldn't want to be involved in that?
Because with association of devotees, the process will be much faster, because directly with Krishna, it will be
simple. Yes, but the point is you're dealing with Krishna, then you're going to get the association of devotees. Then taking advantage of that association of devotees, you can move forward. Otherwise, how do you get the association of devotees? This by Krishna's grace. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami then explains is that the living entity, when he starts to, you know, inquire about the higher position in life, then he moves forward. That's when Krishna puts him in contact with the devotees. So by the grace of Krishna one gets Guru, by the grace of Guru one gets Krishna. So they go together. So you have to understand is we study them in categories because that's how we'll understand them. But they don't function exclusively in a category. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let us say, you're in the kitchen, right? And you're cutting some vegetables. Now, at that time, is it possible that you could be thinking about the arrangements of serving prasad? But according to the everything's in a box with little arrows between it, it's actually not possible, because if you're thinking of that, that's serving prasad, that's in another category, so you can't be doing that while you're cutting vegetables.
No, both the things go on simultaneously.
Yes, so therefore, don't keep putting things in boxes and putting up, you know, large barriers between them. We study them in boxes, but they're applied together. Whatever is so, a box means that's the prominent aspect, right? Means now, when I'm cutting the vegetables and I'm thinking about how I'm going to arrange the serving and all that, because that may even have some idea of how I'm going to cut the vegetables, right? So then, which is more prominent, cutting vegetables or the serving arrangement? Okay, now let's say I am serving, and then in serving in the arrangements I have, then I may notice that I could have cut the vegetables differently. Right? I have small serving spoons and I cut the vegetables very big. Or I have a small bowl and then there's a very large, you know, I can get one potato in there and half of the cauliflower, it hangs out. So then I'll think, next time I'll cut it smaller. But which is prominent, the cutting or the serving? So therefore then it's defined by that. But it's not that they're not going all on at the same time. You know, or as you're serving prasad, then you hadn't thought about it that, you know, how you say, you know, Uncle Rajesh, he likes more chili, and so you could have put in more in his dal. So then you're thinking back to the cooking point. You know? Does that make sense? But you didn't have more green chili, so then how would you have done that? You could have then used some red chilies. You understand? So all these things would be going on at once, but which is more prominent? Does that make sense?
In the four stages, Shravanadasa, Varnadasa, Smarandasa, and Apanadasa, what is Varnadasa? What are the activities?
What are the Varnadasa means? You're adjusting with a specific attraction to Krishna. See, Shravanadasa means you're hearing about the concept that I'm servant of Krishna and the mood of the devotees. Varnadasa is then adjusting with applying that into my position and what I can do for Krishna. Like Shravanadasa means we hear about that Krishna is the supreme, we're the jiva, we're not the body, this material world is a place of misery, the spiritual world is eternal, and whatever we're looking for is over there, not over here. So we develop that faith. Now we have to take up service. So what service can we do? Right? So we adjust with doing service, associating devotees, all these different things like that, and how we fit in. Right? So Varnadasa, figuring out how to use, which end of the broom you hold the sweep, because you've never held one in your life because your mother always had servants. Right? That's Varnadasa. Okay. Okay. Other gopis, however, because of not getting the good fortune of associating with the Nityasiddha gopis and other advanced gopis, had not achieved the stage of prema. Right? So other advanced devotees means those who had associated with the Nityasiddhas. So they were becoming more advanced. Like the first ones, the ones that went, they were the more advanced. Or other advanced. Because they had had the association of the Nityasiddhas. Right, so by that association, you get that interest. Then you'd also get the association of the Nityasiddhas. Right, so they had not achieved the stage of prema, and so their contamination was not completely burned away. They entered the company of their cowherd husbands, and after sexual union with them, gave birth to children. But a short time later, even these gopis developed their poor virag by hankering intensely for the physical association of Krishna. A hankering they acquired by associating with the advanced gopis. Becoming worthy recipients of the mercy of the perfected gopis, they assumed transcendental bodies fit to be enjoyed by Krishna. And when Yogamaya failed to help them overcome their husband's attempt to keep them from going out, they felt themselves cast into the worst calamity. Viewing their husbands, brothers, fathers, and other family members as enemies, they came close to dying, just as other women might remember their mothers or other relatives at the time of death. These gopis remember the sole friend of their very life, Krishna, as stated in the present verse of the Bhagavatam, beginning with the word antar. So we also have this element is that the body here, because this is where the subtle understanding is important, is what makes something spiritual or material?
Consciousness.
That's it. So the potatoes, are they spiritual or material? Right? Depending on consciousness. You're thinking you're going to have a nice lunch, material. You're thinking it's a nice offering for Krishna, spiritual. That's the actual point, not where they're manifest from. Therefore, when it says that they attained spiritual bodies, means they came to that platform where it was just about Krishna. So they attained that spiritual position. Right? Does that make sense? That's the actual point you want to make. Does this make sense? That's the real aspect of Swarup. Right? Not that, whether it's made out of material elements or spiritual elements, because the point is, does it matter? If the consciousness is not right, what does it matter? Vrindavan's transcendental. The materialists use it for their own purpose. Right? Does that make sense? I think they have one set of condos at Govardhan that has a golf course. Right? So is that spiritual or material? Right? So that's the whole point, is they're using the spiritual realm for their own material purpose. So that's not the actual point that defines it. We generally define it by this grosser understanding. But here we have to understand it's subtle, just like the wives of the Brahmins. They attain their spiritual form because of that full absorption in Krishna. So that's actually the point. So Swarup is not just, I have this body and all that. That's the Sahajiyas do that stuff, because it's all external anyway. It's not about Krishna's mood, the bhav, the relationship. It's just about what I want out of it. Right? So it's sadharan. So that means it puts it, like a kubja, which then puts it like, in the realm of Vaidhi. It's a Vaikuntha thing. And so then they're thinking they're rag bhaktas and gopi and this and that, but they're not. So that's the whole point. As you see in the beginning, the Acharya then gives an explanation based on what Rupa Goswami gave. So he's quoting from Ujjvala Nilamani. So he's using that as a basis, not just whatever they feel like, right? So that's the... It is implied that those ladies were not able to exit because they were held back by their husbands, who were standing before them with sticks in their hands, scolding them. Although these gopis were perpetually absorbed in love for Krishna, at that particular time they meditated upon him and cried out within, "Alas, alas, O only friend of our life, O ocean of the artistic skills of Vrindavan Forest, please let us become your girlfriends in some future life, because at this time we cannot see your lotus-like face with our eyes. So be it, we shall look upon you with our minds." Each of them lamenting to herself in this way, the gopis stood with their eyes shut and meditated deeply upon him. Right, so at this point is then those who got stopped. The other ones before we said had already attained that position, they had gone. Right, the Nitya Siddhas are going, those who had attained that platform of Purvarag, they had gone. Now these ones had attained after. Right? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "For those gopis who could not go to see Krishna, intolerable separation from their beloved caused an intense agony that burned away all impious karma." Right? So the agony creates, gets rid of the impious karma. By meditating upon him, they realized his embrace, and the ecstasy they felt exhausted their material piety. Okay? So, two parts that we like, two parts that we don't like. Okay, that we got exhausted our material piety. Our sin. What is it? Our impious karma. Really, we like that part, right? But the intense agony that was the cause that burned it away. Not so, interested, right? And then the. Then, by meditating, they realized this embrace and the ecstasy when they felt that part we like. And then that exhausted their material piety, the part we don't really like. You understand? That's why one has to go beyond religion. It's about pleasing Krishna. Religion's to please Krishna. That's the only purpose of it. If it doesn't please Krishna, then it's a waste of time. So we would just want to get rid of the bad things materially, keep all the good things materially, and add Krishna to that. And then what's better than that?
Yeah.
Right? it's like, what do you call it? Lying on the beach, at the French Riviera, as a devotee. So you have the best of both worlds. You're chanting your rounds. Yeah. God. At the same time, you have the wraparound sunglasses, right? You understand? So, therefore, that absorption in Krishna removes the material piety and the anxiety that comes up from that separation from Krishna. That removes the impious things. So, in other words, the suffering removes that, the ecstasy in Krishna consciousness gets rid of the material. So, the point is both material piety and impiety have to be removed to be absorbed in Krishna. Yes.
There's a doubt. Yeah. We usually hear the explanation is
You usually hear.
That when we remember Krishna at the time of death. We go back to Gokul. And we say that we go to Gokul to get trained.
Yes.
And at least in theoretical understanding, that's when no material impiety there and no material piety is there. So we get trained. And when we talk about this, this is Prakat Lila, which goes on in Gokul, which says that it doesn't have both things that they got rid of.
So, the example is given. Let's say we have a box. And inside this box is Hing. Right? So, the Hing is gone. We wash the box. What does it smell like?
Hing.
Yes. So, that's the whole point. There is nothing from that point, but the fragrance is still there. So, you have to get rid of the fragrance. You're talking about Radha and Krishna here. So they got good noses.
And also, I remember hearing a lot that those gopis, they were more advanced.
Which were more advanced?
The last group. They could. They didn't get association, but they left their bodies.
Yeah, but they left their bodies means they left the material body and it came to the spiritual platform.
Just
that right. the other ones had already attained the spiritual platform, so why would they be better?
So just the material...
It's just showing, in other words, what we're learning here is you have to keep that focus. It's not good enough that I'm in a good spiritual situation, now I can relax. Right? Because otherwise, you know, it's going on, I got my sadhana down, I got... You know, after 3-4 years, people generally are able to get their rounds chanted and dead things and, you know, work it out that, you know, they set their alarm before going to bed. You know, things like that. It only takes a few years to figure out, but, you know, you finally get it. And so... Like that, and then one could relax that everything's nice when it's going good. But the point is, if you relax, then the problem is it's not going to be, you're not going to be focused enough. And so here it's all about focus, because Krishna can be totally focused on the devotees, so the devotee has to be totally focused on them. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point being made here, is that you still have to be focused, otherwise then you won't. So you have to see what is there. By being absorbed in Krishna, you know, then the ecstasy will get rid of the pious, the anxiety will get rid of the impious, all these things will go away. So that's already happened with those other gopis. So it's just showing that if one gets delayed in it, still there's a process to get rid of it. You know? Otherwise then we're talking about, okay, there is the kids are all growing up and they all have problems and all that. And with some of them, then by the regular association and things like that, they get rid of their problems. Some of them don't. So then they get special association, so they go to juvie, right? And stuff like that. And so then after that, then they figure it out and get it together and become a part of society. So now we're saying they're better? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Doesn't mean that they can't be the same. You may say, oh, they're more determined, but are they as determined as the ones that were determined from the beginning and were, you know what I'm saying? He gets good grades now, but is he on the same... Can you say he's better than the one that always had a 4-point average? You know, so that's the point, is that one sees as where one fits. It's not about who's better, who's not better, because then if we get into that, oh, the gopis are better than Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, it's just it's just a social thing. It's just status. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Otherwise, yeah, so like that. Put it on devotee Facebook, you know. What is your body car, right?
Level.
Huh?
You can rate yourself.
Yes, you can rate yourself.
Maharaj, can you say over here that the anxiety that the gopis are experiencing over here in separation is basically one of the bhavas, you know, that they're experiencing, and therefore...
Yes. So.
Yeah,
so then. Go ahead.
Yeah, like I just wanted to understand whether this particular bhav has this particular functionality.
No, it's you keep your kitchen clean. So the only point of having the mood to keep the kitchen clean is just the kitchen becomes clean. It has no other effect. Right? Is it a general thing of you have a nice house and it's clean and orderly and all that and it's a nice environment to be in? And so to do that, then you clean pots. So since when is the anxiety just for that purification? Because if that's there, then what about the ones that have already attained prema and they feel anxiety and separation from Krishna? What's getting purified there? Yes, yeah, so then therefore we would say that then separation has no point, and so therefore Nimbark has had it right all the time, that there is no separation. Right. So chanting Hare Krishna, its goal is liberation, right?
No, prema.
Okay, but liberation comes, so therefore it must be, you know, the main aspect.
But we don't give importance to liberation.
We don't bother for liberation, but it comes anyway.
Yeah, it comes.
Yeah, so therefore we focus on Krishna and the anarthas go away on their own. So then how is it that separation, its main function, is purifying? If we say it's a bhava.
Got it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the whole point is that attachment to the material piety as the attachment to the impiety both have to go. It has to be exclusively about Krishna. That's the whole point. So when it comes to that exclusivity, then it's perfect. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme soul, these girls simply thought of him as their male lover and associate with him in that intimate mood. Thus their karmic bondage was nullified and they abandoned their gross material bodies. Footnote 5. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 9 to 11 to Bhaga Arkamichimala chapter 16 entitled The Gradual Manifestation of Bhava, Bhavodhaya Kramaha, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. Right? So through the Abhideya process, then gradually this bhava starts to manifest. So we see this, here it's manifesting with them as they become absorbed in Krishna. Verses 9 and 11 are also assigned to chapter 20 entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. So, because of these anxieties, right, that they had, that absorption. What is it? Yeah, so their meditation upon him, you know, either that anxiety or that surrender. Either of these two flavors, then this is the aspect of just that appreciate that love for Krishna. Right? And then the effect of that, these two aspects are they became completely purified. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. In order to hide from the materialists the confidential secret attainment of the gopis, this verse has an external meaning. And to reveal the truth to devotees, conversant with devotee, this verse has an internal meaning. From this verse, the materialist can understand that Krishna gave the gopis liberation. The gopis cleansed themselves of all inauspiciousness, dutta subaha, by enduring the suffering of intense separation from Krishna. And they cleanse themselves of all punya, kshina mangalaha, by blissfully embracing Krishna in meditation. Having destroyed all parabdha karmas, thinking of the Lord as their paramour, they attained paramatma and gave up their bodies. So then the grosses, as they will see it according to this this aspect of liberation, right? Because that's how they'll see it. Because they can't see beyond that. They don't know what's beyond. So that's as much as they can see anyway. Is that someone got out of the material world. That's as far as they can tell, just like astrology. All they can tell is that you leave the material world. You can't tell what's beyond that or after that. Right? Does that make sense? Technically, the science can't tell that. A devotee has some realization and all that. They may be able to say, but they shouldn't say, no, but I can tell by astrology. You absolutely cannot tell by astrology. It cannot define devotional service. It can only tell you situations. Now, you use those situations for Krishna, like you do religious things. You should be using it for Krishna. Now, a devotee in a religious situation would be doing what? Devotional service. Now, if someone wasn't a devotee and they were engaged religiously, it wouldn't be devotional service. So, we understand that someone's taking up these things and using them. That's because it's devotional service. But it's not that the astrologer can tell. So that's the point. The materialist can only tell from this side. They can only tell that, okay, the person's left the material consideration. They become liberated. Right? So they're leaving their bodies. This and that will mean then they'll just take it from that point. Yes?
Is that why we have to always check our attitude before we approach any learned person, so we make sure that we approach the right person, otherwise
Yes. No, that's all. That always, because that's the point before, is that association. Where if we want to develop that love for Krishna, then that's the whole point of what we do. So we associate based on that, right? If we associate based on some material quality and like that, then it won't go as well. You know, it's just like let's say, I think when they were at 26 Second Avenue, they had that lawyer. You know, the shark, like that. So he would always be really nice to Prabhupada and that, but he wasn't so nice to anybody else. He was really cut and dry with everyone. But Prabhupada was so nice, and when the devotees are there, being so nice, so they'd have that faith in him. Like that. But he was associating, but he was only associating for his own purpose. So, like that. And so then at one point, then Prabhupada kind of had to straighten things out. The devotees understand the verse differently. By meditation on Krishna, the gopis attain both meeting and separation, unlimited happiness and distress, and at last attain their desire. Right? Because meditating on Krishna, you have the aspect of being with him, but you also have the aspect of being separated from him. So the feelings of separation, that purifies from the impure aspects there, and the aspects of being with Krishna, then that deals on that side. Does that make sense? So you get both of those aspects. Because remembering Krishna, you'll get both of these things. Okay. And they at last attain the desire of that position of service to Krishna. So thus the meaning is as follows. By the intense pain caused by intolerable separation from their beloved, the gopis caused all inauspiciousness to tremble. Duta Shubaha. Seeing the intense pain of the gopis' separation from Krishna, thousands of inauspicious elements in the form of the Mahakalakuta poison emanating from the ocean fires of millions of universes gave up their identity as torturous elements, being defeated by the pain experienced by the gopis and began to tremble. Right? In other words, the Kalakuta poison, it's the greatest poison there is. So therefore, the pain caused by all the various torturous elements of this material world is created by sinful activities or by impiety, right? Impiety always creates a torturous situation. So that torturous situation, whatever is the extreme most that could be created from the reaction of sin, the separation, the pain that the gopis felt in separation with Krishna was so much greater that this Mahakalakuta poison, like that, you know, coming from millions of universes, and that they felt, they were shaking because the pain of this was so much greater. Like that. So therefore, everything that could be seen on the material platform would be destroyed by that because it's so much greater. But it's in connection with Krishna. Well, the other is, it's in connection with Maya. We've done something wrong, we get some reaction for that, therefore, it is, it is given up. That's why Manu says, even on the material platform, that you repent what you do, that gets rid of that, and determine not to do that again. Then that combination then makes it complete. Right? But that's on the material platform. The spiritual platform is that not pleasing Krishna and the pain of that, or not being able to serve Krishna or be with Krishna, that's then that aspect. And of being with Krishna, remembering Krishna and all that, then that's the other side. You understand? Because everything's working off the eternal formulas that goes on at this point. Right? Does that make sense? Now, if the whole point of the material world is to come to the platform of prema, then that means the whole process of devotional service that brings you to prema must be represented within all the activities that the shastras recommend. But since many people are not devotional, right? So then that means we're talking about a lot of people not being interested in what the Shastra is actually for. But it doesn't mean they shouldn't be following the context of what it is for. Right? So then they're practicing a lifestyle, dealing in a culture, expressing the various qualities for the mundane benefit they'll get, rather than for the spiritual benefit. So they're trying to be humble. The devotee's trying to be humble. But one is being humble because it's pious, the other's become humble because it's devotional service. It pleases Krishna. But in that environment, everybody can live together peacefully. There's one culture. That's the Vedic concept. That even if you're a materialist and not interested in devotional service, you shouldn't disturb those who are. Therefore, in your behavior, the environment, how you deal with the environments you create, should be supportive of devotional service. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. So therefore, it's always there. These aspects of purification are always there. It's just a matter of whether we see it or not. Right? And even the karmis, who are not into the Vedic culture, then by some previous good karma, then they come across these points and see them in the right way, and they get the good material results. But they don't know that that good material result still is to be used in Krishna service, just like the pious materialist who's following the Vedas and is getting a good result but doesn't know how to serve it for Krishna. So one is because of their determination of following it in this life. The other is because they followed it in last life. There's still a little leftover karma. Right? Does that make sense? So we should always understand that this is how it is. This is where it's from. Everything's from here. So you can see it here. This is what it's for. And it accomplishes all other things also. By the supreme bliss of embracing the astonishing body of Achyuta, fully spiritual, filled with prema, endowed with appropriate identity and mood, which made its appearance through their meditation, all material and spiritual forms of auspiciousness became emaciated or insignificant. Kshina mangalaha. Seeing the extreme bliss generated by the gopis by the embrace of Krishna through meditation, all the happiness of millions of universes generated through material objects, and the happiness generated from impersonal Brahman with no material object, became withered, inferior, and insignificant. Right? So that's what's happening. What they're tasting is so much greater than anything is there within the material universe. That's not just one, millions of them. It's so much greater that all of them, then their position, then withers. It goes away. So anything nice that we would consider in the material world, it is not nice compared to this. Right? Somebody said, yeah. To say that because papa and punya can only be destroyed. This is taken from. Not from the BBT.
No.
Yeah, because they didn't give all this. Okay. Yeah.
That's why. That's why we will always explain that those copies are higher.
Yes.
This body is material. It is written that this body is material. Is it correct?
It depends how you use it. Just listen. If it's used for Krishna, it's spiritual. If it's used for not for Krishna, it's material. That's how it works.
So means now I'm in this association, means I'm completely absorbed in Krishna, means I'm now spiritual.
Yes, but then when you walk out and you start thinking about breakfast and all that, then it goes back to being material.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
That's it.
So we're trying to get to the point where we keep it on the spiritual platform. Right? I said, make a t-shirt, right? Keep it spiritual. To say that because pap and punya can only be destroyed by experiencing pain and pleasure, the gopis' pap and punya were destroyed by distress and happiness arising from separation and meeting with Krishna is not acceptable to the Vaishnava. because separation from the Lord is not caused by sin, and meeting the Lord is not caused by piety. Right? So we have to understand is that it's not that it can only be. It's that it has nothing to do with it. It's just that it's a side thing. That's what we were saying before. It's a side thing that happens. It's not a main point. The main point is about... Is, yeah, some sense. Thus, the first meaning of the verse is rejected. According to the learned, the destruction of Prarabdha Karmas takes place during bhajan, when a devotee reaches the stage of anartha nivritti. Right? So that's what he say. But there's this subtle aspect. We said the fragrance of it. But it just means that there's no more interest anymore. Like that. So it's because of devotional service these go away, not because they have these things. You understand? The material still take it because you're sinful, then you can't think of Krishna. Because you're pious, you can think of Krishna. So therefore, those from impious backgrounds can't actually be Brahmins, can't actually be Vaishnavs, they can't, because they don't have the piety for it. Right? Because that's the common, it's standard over this side. So then, but no, it's because of devotional service. Oh, this would also explain the position here. Because other parts of India, this understanding is actually quite strong. Like that. But the one state where it's not, it actually is Bengal. Bengal, they don't actually worry about your birth as being an effect on whether you can be a devotee or not, or whether you can be a Brahmin or not. But other parts of India is very much a part of the, you know, for the smartas and stuff like that. I mean, smartas here also, but the point is Bengalis will accept, because Haridas Thakur, like this. So they don't have a problem of the background. Does that make sense? We're only making this as a side thing because sometimes Westerners like to bring up a thing that the Bengalis don't like the Westerners. But actually, if you analyze this, because the Westerners don't like the Bengalis, I've never seen that the Bengalis don't like the Westerners. They don't like people who are uncultured, but that's pretty standard. Anyone who's cultured doesn't appreciate people who are uncultured. That's any culture of the world. So it's just a matter of culture. But this doesn't like, this is for uncultured people who they don't like. You know, just as a side point. Okay. Paramatma here means he who possesses the highest prema, Parama. The gopis attain directly the object of supreme prema, Paramatma, by thinking of him as their illicit lover, unlike Rukmini and others, who, thinking of the Lord as their husband, attained him less directly. For the unpredictable excellence of prema is manifested by thinking of Krishna as a parama rather than as a husband. This is shown in the statement of Uddhava. Quote, though the gopis gave up the path of proper conduct, which is difficult to reject, they worship Krishna, who is sought by the Vedas. Right? So why the proper path is there? Because we think we'll get a benefit from that. Right? So the gopis then were able to give up that path to attain Krishna. Now this is actually quite different than us who say, oh, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules, because there we're giving up the path for our own benefit. Because you'll see is, okay, what's going to be the next statement after we're devotees, we don't care for the rules? What are they going to state? They're going to state something that's good for themselves. Right? Means you do have occasion where someone's pointing out that someone's acting like a smarta, quit being a smarta. So we don't care for the rules, we care about bhakti. Now that's a proper application of that point. Right? But in the more contemporary, politically social kind of environment, it's about what benefit they'll get from it. You understand? So that the gopis could give this up, because the queens at Dwarka can't give that up. Lakshmi can't give that up. That's why then the gopis' love is higher, because they're willing to give up anything that would create any benefit for themselves. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to appreciate the position of the gopis. Does that make sense? Right? Because opulence comes from where? Religion. Right? The feminine nature is opulence, right? Means is the energy. So that the opulence is willing to give up that religion which is its basis, and take shelter of the ultimate religion, which is Krishna, then that is that means then it's not about themselves. So it's the topmost position. This is the real this is what Krishna means by sarva dharmam parityaja. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Then the doubt, why would not everybody want to be a gopi if this is the highest?
Because it's a matter of taste. Because when you get into this realm, it's not a matter. I mean, those who may be cheating, then they may present and stuff like this,
the
sahajis and stuff.
The real thing
is a matter of taste. Just like if I put out 50 different preparations, all nicely cooked and all that, and arranged or whatever it is, like that, and then people will take them according to their taste.
Yeah, in this we usually say that all preps are equal.
They are all equal. It's a matter of taste. So we have to understand is that all the rasas are equal, but at the same time the gopi's position is higher. But they're all equal. Because in Braja, when it goes down, who's the most prominent in the pastimes? Overt social sense. Really? We use some fancy words. Socially, in the Vrindavan scene, who's prominent?
Yashoda.
Yeah. Like that. And then the cowherd boys, they're always there. And, you know, the parents and the cows and the trees. And who's the least in the interaction with Krishna? The gopis. You understand? But in their particular... The degree of the intensity means all the Braj bossies, the surrender is the same. That's what makes it Braj. That's the Shravana Dasa. So that full surrender, that's what we're trying to get. Varna Dasa means then what aspect of surrender, what is the taste of that surrender? What's the particular rati, the attraction of that surrender? That's the difference. That's Varna Dasa. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah.
We know that we should be giving lower taste for higher taste.
Yes.
And up to a certain level, it's all fine. It means we understand intellectually how it works. But then, within the devotional realm, although it is all equal, we've given that opportunity which Mahaprabhu gave us. So we're trying for that higher taste, but it's not coming.
Because it's actually a matter of taste. It's not a matter of mechanics. So our trying, that's the mechanical aspect, but that's how we show that we're interested.
Yeah.
So we have to be consistent in that, because the higher we get, the more value it is. So therefore, the price is greater. So the focus is more. So we may be as focused as we were before, and we were thinking, why aren't we getting farther? Because the focus needs to be greater. That surrender needs to be greater. The value of it needs to be greater. Then it moves up. Because Krishna is reciprocating that, not the mechanics. Mechanics, of course. You're seeing him, you're doing it for him, the results come. Person can't figure out, you know, which end of something works, and then with time they become very expert, you know, because they're using it nicely for Krishna. And so it develops. But still, that devotion to Krishna, that has to be seen that it is the central point. So if it's just, okay, now I can do my service nicely, everything goes very nicely, so, you know, that's done. Then it won't go past that, because that's all the farther one's interested to take it. But if one is trying to develop that love for Krishna, then these things aren't important. It's just something you do. It's just like, okay, let us take walking. Do you have to focus on it much? No. Now, let's say you're, 1.5 years old. Do you have to focus on it? Yes. So, but... And then when they do get to the point of walking, then that 2-year-old, and then everything's about walking. Hey, I'm walking here. You know, everyone's looking, taking pictures, this and that, commenting. It's all about walking. right? So in that way, it's all about my service. I arranged this, I did that, you know, whatever it is, and everybody's commenting and this and that. So I feel good, right? Like that. But the difficulty comes is that, what's the purpose of it? Walking's for doing other things. Walking's not to get attention. Like that. At least for the men. Like that. Now and again they can use it, but it has to be rightly timed. Otherwise it's annoying. But girls can use it at all times, at all places, all circumstances. Yeah, even if no one's there, as long as there's a mirror, it's still good. Okay? So the whole point is but it becomes part of something higher, because there's what it's for, is that guy will be looking cool, so he's good, and they all think he's cool. The lady's doing that, so the one gets attracted because there's more that's there. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole point is that we walk. We don't have to think about it. We can think about Krishna, but the walking goes on expertly. So in the same way as whatever it is that we're good at, we focus on it only as long as get it up to a level where it's standard, and then the focus should just be on Krishna, because we can do it. Like you see Prabhupada say, you know, on the book distribution, when it started to become good, he said double it. They kept doing it up to a point. Then he didn't say double it anymore. Then he said boil the milk. I think that was like 75 or something. He just kept telling them more and more and more. And then he said, no, now you just... Now it's about this standard is the standard he wanted ISKCON to function at. This level of, temple management, deity worship, Sankirtan, book distribution, you know, the Harinam, all these programs that were going on. Like that. That should go now at this level. And now try to increase the quality of it. Because quantity is up to a standard to keep everybody busy and no time for Maya. Because the less than that, they could get into Maya. But up to that, then no Maya, and now improve the quality. So that's what one's trying to do. Well, nowadays we're just trying to encourage each other, even though we can't do it, but try to behave and pretend as if it's fabulous, like we're dealing with a little kid. Oh, yeah, so nice. And, you know, it's like the person's wrestling with the little kid, and he goes flying because the kid touched him. Mm-hmm. Oh, so strong, you know, like that. Yeah. But, you know, then the point is it has to get up to a point of actual expertise, actual reality. Is that? Particularly when Krishna appears, he performs pastimes in which the low and vulgar become most praiseworthy. Krishna, who bestows Swarup Yamukti, became the glorious chariot driver of Arjuna, with whip and bridle in his hands. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.39. From this statement of Bhishma, it is understood that just as Krishna, taking the role of a chariot driver, superior to playing the role of a king of kings, similarly, the pastimes of Krishna, the lowly Sringara Rasa, is superior to the elevated Shanta Rasa, and in Sringara Rasa, and the socially unacceptable unmarried love is superior to the acceptable married love. Right, so it's just that position is higher. Because actually here, as they say Sringara, Sringara is the intensity. Right? Because Madhurya means that it's conjugal rasa. But conjugal rasa includes Swakiya and Parakiya. But Sringara means Parakya. That aspect. Because the intensity, the depth of it. So that's why then it's used. So we have to get used to this point that it's about Krishna that makes something auspicious. And it's because it's not about Krishna that what makes it inauspicious. Rather than, you know, right and wrong based on the material considerations. That's what has to be given up at this point. In other words, to appreciate what's going to be beyond this point. In Krishna's interaction with the gopis, one has to accept that principle. Whether it's just intellectually we accepted it, we haven't realized it, but we accept that, yes, it's only because it's connected to Krishna, it's of value. And if it's not connected to Krishna, no matter how much I'm attached to it or want it, it's not of any value. We actually have to have that understanding. Then, with that mood, then the rest of this will make some sense. And if not, then, you know, how much we can, because it's all about devotional service, we'll catch something and things like that. But what we're saying is that this point needs to be addressed at some point, that it's not about about the mundane morality and ethics and religion, that's it, that's actually important. It's, you know, say, no, but without that, how can you do it? No, that's the point, is you can simply be absorbed in Krishna. It doesn't require, bhakti is independent. That's the point. Bhakti is not dependent on any pious thing. Oh, because he's so pious, that's why he can do devotional. No. Oh, no, if it's not, if this is, it can't be devotional service. No, bhakti is independent. But the point is it matches nicely. But it's not about, it's because we use religion because it pleases Krishna, not because it's the right thing to do. That's motive goodness. It's the right thing to do. Pure goodness is it pleases Krishna. That's the difference. It looks the same. The form of goodness and pure goodness basically looks the same. Right? But the difference is where does it start? Does it start from Krishna, or does it start from the benefits we'll get from the Dharma? Right? So even see with Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's always speaks the truth. But then there's that point, is it about Krishna or not? So then he was asked to tell a lie. And so he did, but in a covered way. Right? And so then the materialists say his chariot after that touched the ground because he told a lie. But the devotees say, no, it actually touched the ground because he wasn't willing to lie for Krishna. Understand? Yes.
So that level of realization, Sarva Dharma Parityaga, is actually bhava and a pole. Because then we can fake it. We can actually.
No, you can't. But it should be accepted that this is the principle.
Yes, and the principle we accept.
Yes, that's the point, intellectually. That's the difference between gyan and vigyan. That's how Prabhupada opens in the introduction to Gita. We at least accept it, that this is how it's supposed to be. This is the attitude. So the idea of what we're bringing up here is we should stop arguing things on the basis of material piety or impiety. And when we're talking here, the acharyas are talking that they're talking about what's defined by Shastra. So it's not defined by Shastra, it's just social custom, because some group of people think it's good or bad. That's not even counted, you know, like that. You know, it's just like if I say, no dog, the guy comes to the door and he's got a Saint Bernard, and I say, no dogs, right? Does that mean now the guy with the Chihuahua can get in? Right? We're talking about the hairless one? You know, like that. You know, so it's just, it doesn't count. It's just, automatically, V-karma is automatically thrown out if we've thrown out karma established by Shastra. Right? So Prabhupada is just showing that attitude you have, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the soul, like this, there's a relationship. With that just intellectual understanding, if you approach the Gita, then you will get understanding. So this attitude is so important. So that's the difficulty. If we maintain this pious attitude, you know, that Shastra, that's going to get in the way. That's why the apara vidya, if it's not used for Krishna, is avidya. It's only called apara when it's used in connection with para. Right? Because you notice the term para is there in both of them. So para vidya means transcendental. Apara means material knowledge used in pursuance of the purpose of transcendental knowledge, then it's called apara. If it's just used on its own, that is called avidya. Right? But because the Vedic term, it's meant for that, that's why it's called by that. So all we just have to try to accept that at least, yes, this is the standard, and stop arguing things based on material piety, and especially material impiety that's called piety, though it's actually impiety. Right, so all that has given up, then we're able to appreciate the position of the gopis. That's what makes them so elevated, is because of that complete surrender that no one else has. And it's appreciated by everybody. Narad Muni appreciates it, Bhishma Dev appreciates it, so many devotees mention the gopis and their surrender. Everybody knows that's the best. But that doesn't mean that you can't function in your position, right? Because one may ask, oh, but then why aren't they trying? No, but that's just their position. You know, it's just like, let's say you have an orchestra. You have the first chair violin, right? Now that's generally the head person. After the conductor, the first chair violin is the next main person. Not the guy in the back with the timpani, right? Now, can the timpani guy appreciate the first chair violin? Can they be respectful? Can they appreciate? Yes. Does that mean that now they want to play first violin? No, they're happy with their timpani. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's how it works. Okay.
So,
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.
That is why South Indians one time you try to tell me. Like South have Jnana Sukriti, North Karma Sukriti and East.
Here Bhakti Sukriti, yeah.
So here they don't see anyone can take up devotional service.
Yeah.
In South, the Smarthas and others, if you have that Jnana, then they are Bhakta.
Yeah.
Except Shris, they have that, okay, Brahmins means, devotees means, they have that technical stuff.
Okay, so all the ayers will say like that.
Yeah. Okay. And normal people also feel that, they have that knowledge. That's
so therefore they're devotees. Okay.
And north, yeah. If they have money, they
okay, and in the north, yeah. If you have money, you do the nice activities, then you're the great bhakta. You've given charity. That's a nice understanding. Okay, very good. Okay. So you have to either be smart or rich, right? Well, yes. Here, then you can. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.